And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantedest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I wanted to read those 12 verses today for a scripture reading. I'd like to talk about God's gift of children. And it has been such a joy to me this week to be with the children and to see their smiling faces. To me, children just have a glow about them. And they certainly are a blessing from the Lord. They can bring great and do bring great joy into our lives. I have said many times that I feel that one of the greatest blessings on earth that I've had is the privilege of experiencing fatherhood. And I thank God for my children and look forward to them having children, because I know that they'll be a great blessing to them as well. And the Bible talks about what a great blessing that children are in the 127th Psalm. And it says, beginning with verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." And so we find in that children are an heritage. They are our heritage. They are a blessing sent down from above. The Bible says, and I use this verse a lot in James 1:17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. And so children are a heritage, and they are a great blessing from the Lord. But with the blessing of parenthood comes a huge, huge responsibility. And we can't, with our children, and we all that our parents, I believe, have, even if your children are yet very young, you've already realized that you have a great responsibility in seeing them properly raised. And I'll tell you what, God will hold us responsible for that. The Bible says that we as fathers are to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God will hold us responsible for that task. And we're going to answer to God if we fail in it. And so there comes great responsibility with the blessing of parenthood. Now, we have, throughout this week, we have assembled here with the children in this Vacation Bible School, and we have tried to instill in them things about the Lord and about His cause. And I'll tell you, I believe that that is the greatest responsibility that Christian parents have, is to teach our children about the Lord. And you may say, well, you know, preacher, isn't that only natural? And I mean, we would think that it would be, but evidently not, because we see, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we have all experienced times when we might see someone who is has professed to be saved by God's grace that really doesn't seem to have much care or concern about getting their children to the house of God. And I'm not going to hold anything back. I believe there's something wrong with that. And I don't think you can justify that no matter what the case, because we are responsible to get our children to the house of the Lord. And so we are failing God and we are failing them if we take them out somewhere else and involve them in worldly things other than bringing them to the house of the Lord. We are failing God and we're failing our children, and I will not take it back. Our responsibility as parents is to instill in the minds of our children the good and great value of the Christian system. We're responsible for that. And in these scriptures here, in the book of Deuteronomy that I read, the Bible tells us here how diligent that the children of Israel were told to be in this very matter. They were instructed in that land that God was going to give unto them. They were instructed to see to the spiritual education of their children. And they were told that they were to teach these things, these commandments of the Lord, they were to teach them to their children, and they were to talk of them when they sat in their house. Now, friends, listen, the church is here in the world today as an institution for teaching. That was part of the commission, a very valid part of the commission, was after that people are saved and baptized and become a part of the Lord's church, they are to be taught all of the things that God has commanded. And so the church is a school in that it is an institution for learning, and we are to teach, but I'm going to say that the spiritual education of our children must begin at home. They were to talk to their children when they sat in the house with them. They were to talk to them of the things of God when they walked by the way. When you take a walk with your child, talk to them and teach them about the things of the Lord. And when you lie down and when you rise up. You see, they were instructed to be very diligent in educating their little ones about the things of God. Now, I'm going to say this. You may feel differently about it. I don't know. But we here in our church, during our service many times, we hear the cries of little babies. We hear the voices of little children. And you know what? Children do what children do, don't they? Little babies cry. I've never known many that don't. And I want you to know that whenever I hear the voice of a baby in the congregation, it doesn't bother me at all. When I hear the voice of a baby crying in the midst of God's people, in the midst of the congregation, I have the thought that I thank God that the babies are here because the parents have them where they ought to be. And I've got a lapel mic here and I've got a fairly loud voice and I'm not worried at all and I don't feel challenged at all. I believe that God can help me to get up above the cry of the babies. And we ought to have them here with us. There are some things, and I'm going to give my opinion about some things here briefly. There are some things that I don't believe that we ought to do. I don't think that we should have a nursery and separate our children from the service of the Lord. I don't think we should take them aside and put them away in a nursery somewhere just because they cry or maybe they talk a little bit. I believe they ought to become familiar with our voices. They ought to become familiar with our testimonies. From the time that they're babies, they ought to be hearing the people of God testify and praise God. They ought to be familiar with the voice of the pastor when he preaches. You would just be amazed at the things that little children pick up. We've got to teach them, but sometimes we get taught, don't we? I think anybody that has raised children knows that their children has taught them things as well as them teaching their children. Jesus used a little child when Jesus wanted to teach a lesson about humility. He didn't use a grown-up, did he? He used a child. He used a child to set forth, what it truly means to have humility, what it truly means to be humble. And you know, sadly enough, along the way, as we grow and as we mature, we lose that childlike humility. And I wish that we didn't. Because there are ways. The Bible, one of those ways that the Bible talks is in malice. We ought to be as little children. In humility, we ought to be like little children. And so we have a great responsibility to raise them and to teach them the ways of the Lord. And listen, it has been said that children are the future. It has been said that children are the church of tomorrow. And I don't disagree with that. But I want to tell you something else, that young people, youth, the people in their youth, many times they are not only the church of tomorrow, they are the church of today as well. And I wanted to say this in this message to you young Christians, you that are here today that are young church members, I want you to know this, that God can use you in the days of your youth. God can use you to do things just the same as He can use an adult Christian to do things. And don't ever think that because you're young that God can't move upon your heart and use you to do things in His service, because He can. And we will talk about some of that perhaps here in a few moments. What a great joy. What a great joy that children bring. What a great joy that they bring to a home. What a great joy that they bring to a church. What a great joy that children bring to a nation. And I'm, it's just, it embarrasses me. I know that we live in a great country. I do still believe that we live in a great country, but it embarrasses me and it saddens my heart that we live in a country where people will abuse a child. That's horrible. I mean, people take, oftentimes we hear of these little blessings from the Lord, children that are so neglected and so mistreated, and God help the parent and God help the nation that would neglect their children. We live in a country today where so many of them were discarded like they were nothing before they ever came out of the womb. And God will judge a nation for that. You can bet that He will. Because they are precious in His sight. These little children are precious. They're not only precious in our sight. Listen, they are precious in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord loves little children. And I believe that Jesus proved that to us many times when He was here on the earth. Brother Wheat, in one of our discussions, I think about Wednesday or so at Vacation Bible School in adult class, brought up a verse of Scripture. And if you look in the 20th chapter of Exodus when it talks about the giving of the Ten Commandments, you're going to see the responsibility that we have there as older people and as parents, and also what it's going to cost us if we fail in the obligation and the responsibility that we have towards the children. God said to them in the giving of the moral law, He said that they were not to have any gods before Him. They were not to bow down to them. They were not to worship them, because He said, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate Me. The things that we do, the sins, and we need to live and set before our children as good an example as we can possibly set, because they're watching us. They're watching us. And the things wherein we fail in this, I believe what the Lord was saying was they can reflect upon our children, upon our grandchildren, upon our great-grandchildren, upon our great-great-grandchildren, and so on as it goes. The things, friends, that we fail in the teaching and the care of children can reflect for generation after generation after generation. You know what? Time goes fast. And for any church, if you want a strong church, if you want a church that will please the Lord for very many years at all, you better make sure that the children are well taught. Well taught, because our lives are going to pass before us, and they're going to be gone sooner than we know it. And these little ones that we have seen this week and that we have watched this week, sitting in the Vacation Bible School and singing the little songs and doing the crafts, friends, listen, they will be adults before we really know it. They'll be grown. I know that's how it happened with my children. It just seemed like that they were little, and before I knew it, they were grown. I mean, it almost seemed as if I closed my eyes and blinked, and they were adults. And the opportunity that we have to instill in them the things that we need to teach them is very short. I mean, it goes by quickly, and we need to take advantage. And we need to teach our children well. In the fourth chapter of Joshua, when the children of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, when they were getting ready to cross into the promised land, they experienced a miracle similar to that there at the Red Sea. God made it possible for them to cross over the Jordan on dry ground. In the third chapter of Joshua, it says the priests bearing the ark, as soon as they dipped their feet there in the Jordan, The waters rolled back and stood up on a heap, and they stood firm on dry ground. And they were told to go before the ark, and to Joshua called for 12 men, one out of every tribe, to pick up a stone. And it wasn't a little bitty stone. It wasn't a pebble. It was a stone that he told them each one to pick up and bear on his shoulder and take them to the other side. And so they did that, and they laid up those stones there on the other side of the Jordan. And when they were told that when their children would ask them what the stones mean, when their children would ask them, what mean ye by these stones, that they were to tell them that they were a monument that marked the time that the Lord allowed them to cross the Jordan there on the dry ground. And friends, listen, it's important, and we don't need to get hurried in life about these things, because it's important that we take the time to lay up monuments to our children. You know what? The things that I'm talking about today, they're not going to get it from the world. They're not going to get these things from the world. They're not going to be taught these things from the world. And I know that here in our congregation, we have some teachers, and I'm sure that they are aware of it, probably perhaps maybe more than any of us, that in the public school system, it seems that they have fought hard to go the other way. They have fought hard to, you know, many times in the schools, to not say anything about God, to not teach children about the Lord. But you know what? And that's sad, but the truth of the matter is, it is our responsibility to teach our children. It's ours. I wish that in this world, I wish that our children would never hear anything derogatory about God. I mean, it would suit me if they never heard the name of God spoken in an ill way. It would suit me if everywhere they went, they heard about God. But that's not the case, is it? They're not going to get what they need from society. They're not going to get what they need from the world. If they get spiritually educated about the things of God, they're going to get it from us. They're not going to find it anywhere else. Don't think that somebody else will take up your job and do it for you. You talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down, when you rise up. Teach them diligently about the things of the Lord. I want to use just a few moments here and speak to you young Christians. Some of you here today have recently been saved. And I want you to know that we have many examples in the Bible of God using people in their youth. And oftentimes, they teach the older. And you know what? Those of us that are older people, those of us that are perhaps somewhat more mature in the Lord, don't ever think that you can't learn from a young Christian, because we can. We can all learn from them. I would venture to say that King Saul and Eliab, David's older brother, out there that day at the battle that took place between David and the giant Goliath, I would say that his older peers learned a great lesson about faith from young David that day. If they didn't, they sure missed a golden opportunity, didn't they? They were there, they were backed up, they were scared to death, they were afraid. There was none of them that were willing to go and fight the giant. And here comes this young shepherd boy, here comes this young lad, and he just says, well, I'll go out there and I'll fight him in the name of the Lord, because the Lord, when I was keeping my father's sheep, the Lord that delivered me from the paw of the bear and of the lion, the same God can deliver this uncircumcised Philistine. So I'll go out and fight him. If none of you will, I will. Sometimes it seems a young Christian has to lead the battle. And David certainly did. And I'd say they got a great lesson in faith. Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers. Be an example in faith. Be an example in purity. Those of you that are young in the Lord, don't give anybody occasion to despise your youth. Don't give occasion in that. Sometimes, let me tell you something, it's a great blessing to be saved when you're young. The Bible tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, and it's a great blessing to be saved young. And sometimes even Christian children, when they reach their teenage years, and we've seen this happen far too many times in our churches, when they reach their teenage years, they give in to peer pressure, to the temptations of the world, and they go out and do things that young Christians should not do. And listen, you stay with the Lord, you walk with the Lord, you hang on to the Lord, and He will help you to stay away from those things that you're the people in this world that you know might tempt you with. Be careful how you choose your company. Be careful who you fellowship with, because you need to stay on the path that God has for you. And don't ever get it in your mind that because you're young that you've got to go out and have a good time, because listen, there's nothing out there in the world that will ever bring you the pleasure of staying with God and walking with God. Don't let the devil, don't let anybody deceive you to think, well, you know, I'm young and I've got to go out there and do some of these things. No, you don't. No, you don't. You stick with God and you walk in His ways, and He'll bless your life. And what a great blessing it is to know the Lord from the days of your youth on through your life, that you may one day teach your children and your grandchildren the ways of the Lord. I want to read a verse of Scripture in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I'll try to close here in a moment. Thank God for the children. John chapter 16, verse 21, it says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And you know, when my children were born in the world, I had the privilege of seeing all of them born. And I could watch that scripture unfold before my very eyes. My wife would labor, and she did labor in birth. That's what that travail is talking about there. She labored in birth. And every time, as soon as those children were born, I mean, she just had the prettiest smile, you know, the most peaceful look on her face. And it's like all that she went through was just forgotten. Children are a joy, aren't they? They're a great joy. They bring things to our life that nobody else or nothing else could. But we also have a huge responsibility in seeing them raised and brought up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. So let's always make sure, let's continue as a church to pay attention to the children. They have something to say. They have something to say. And these young Christians that we have among us, I thank God for them. And you know what? The same Spirit, if you've been on the road for 50 years, the same Spirit that dwells in you dwells in them. He dwells in them. And let's always be sure that we give attention to our children and that we make sure, because we're responsible as a church to make sure that they are properly trained and taught the ways of the Lord. I appreciate your attention today, and I hope those few thoughts have been helpful in some way. Blessed are those who have their quiver full of them. Thank you so much. I wonder if anybody has anything on your heart today.